Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
I've been praying about what to preach on today because I felt like the Lord wanted to do something really unique concerning mantles. And concerning the imparting of anointing from one person to another. Are you familiar with this in the Bible? See, the Lord had me go to Joshua. We've got a theme for the year, which is synergy. We're going to take territory together. We're going to do some things together. And we know that we can do more together than we could ever do on our own. Okay? Now, because of that, one of the realities is that we have to be discipled. We have to be mentored. We have to have people in our lives showing us the way in which to go. How are we going to grow? How are we going to become more like Jesus on an everyday basis? Now, listen, the Holy Spirit's really good. He's going to teach you because he's merciful. But that's not where God's favor lies. God's favor never rested on a man by himself. God's favor never rested on a man by himself wandering through the woods. See, now, God grabbed Moses and said, well, let me give you Aaron. He grabbed Moses and said, now, let me give you Joshua. He grabbed Elijah and said, now, let me give you Elisha. He grabs Paul and says, let me give you Barnabas. Let me give you Silas. Let me give you a Timothy. So we see over and over that in order to take territory, in order to fulfill the will of God, there was more that needed to be done than just you going it alone. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, the reason why I have the rod up here is because there was one guy in Scripture that was pretty famous for the rod that he carried. Yep, Moses. Yep, Moses had a big staff. So did Aaron. Okay. Moses smacked a rock with it and water came out twice. Pretty cool. I haven't found any rocks like that. I don't know about you. Just, they're not hanging out where I smack sticks on the ground. And, you know, I wish we had the divine, you know, we don't use the well witching, but we could have, you know, made water just pop out here instead of drilling 800 feet to find it. You know, somebody, Lord have mercy. That would have been great. Let me tell you about this staff. This staff was given to me at LaBarge, Wyoming, from a good friend of ours from Oklahoma. His name is JC. He found a bunch of these and brought them. And then I gave this staff to a bunch of gentlemen who took it all over Bonner and Boundary County. And they found specific locations to pray and to establish some things in the region. I'm okay being a little woo-woo with some of that stuff. I'm okay saying, you know, God's got some prophetic things that he wants to do. And so we, you know, we see this all the time in the Old Testament. They do crazy stuff. Okay, so we see the rod. I felt like it would be like when Moses hands over in order to take territory, Moses couldn't go in. Do you remember that? Moses had to die, right? And it's funny because he died at exactly 120, right? So when he dies, we read in Deuteronomy 33 that he encourages Joshua. And he lays his hands on him. Okay, so this would be like, you know, having my daughter Quinn here and handing her the staff, saying it's your turn to run with it, right? Okay, so it's a great symbol of what I'm talking about today in that there are mantles, and what a mantle was a cloak. And I'm just going to, it's like a cloth. It was like the head covering thing. This is probably not the best. This should be a lot longer, okay? Right? Should be a lot longer. But, you know, the reality, like I should have brought the beach towel, you know, and let it, you know, hang down. But they would wear this around, and normally it was sheepskin or some type of cloak that they would wear, and they would carry it around, and it says that Elijah would do miracles with his cloak, with the mantle that was put on him. So he'd take the mantle off, and he'd be like, all right, Jordan River. This is really important now, the Jordan. Elijah would go and he would throw his mantle on the water and the water would go whoop. See, there was such an anointing on Elijah's life that his clothes were permeated with it. We see this also happening in the New Testament with Paul, right? And it says that handkerchiefs, like, no, these were cuts. It was literally cutting his work apron. They would cut his, because he made tents, they would cut the sweat from his work apron. They would cut it and send it to people and they'd be healed. I love that passage because it says unusual miracles were done at the hands of Paul. Like, miracles are unusual, but to have unusual miracles on miracles is like next level, right? So, and we see, of course, Elisha is the follower of Elijah. They're trekking along. You can read this in 2 Kings 2. They're trekking along, and Elijah's like, I gotta go to Bethel. I'm gonna go by myself. And Elisha's like, no, you're not. I'm following you, dude. I'm on you. You ain't getting out of my sight, right? Because there was a prophetic word that there was a specific day in which Elijah was going to be taken into heaven. Okay, so because the sons of the prophets knew, everybody knew this was Elijah's day. And Elisha's like, you know, he didn't sleep that night. He's watching him in his bed. You know, it's like, so he's going around, he's following him. And as he follows him, they go to Bethel. The sons of the prophets are like, Elisha, did you know today's the day? He's like, yeah, hello, I'm with him right now. Like, you know. And so then Elijah goes, I need to go to Jericho. I'm going to go to Jericho. And Elisha's like, well, you know, I'm going to go with you. No, I'm going to go by myself. No, I'm going with you. And it says that they're talking and they're chatting. And Elijah says, all right, like, today's my day. I was going to have this day for me and the Lord where he was going to take me away. But since you're here, what do you want? He goes like, okay, since he says, I want a double portion of everything that was on you, right? And he goes, what you've asked is a very hard thing. Well, you've asked for a hard thing. This is not an easy thing. You've asked for a hard thing. But if you see me get taken up, you'll get it, right? And of course, they're walking along a little bit later and boom, chariots of fire come rolling down. Elijah gets swooped up, and as he's getting swooped up, the coat, his coat, his cloak fell out of the chariot, lands on the ground. Elisha picks it up, puts it on him, walks over to the Jordan. Whoosh! Let the God of, he has this great phrase. He's like, let the God of Elijah, right? He's like, I'm going to operate in the anointing that's on this cloak be on me. And he hits the water. The water now, before it would split one way, now it splits both ways, right? It's pretty cool because he's got the double portion, all right? So he's got that cloak thing going on. And here's why I think that's important. If we're going to take territory, at some point, you need to lay hold of an anointing. You need to lay hold of a mantle that God has for you. There, I know some people that chase Christian conferences to get mantles and anointings. Great. You get a blessing from somebody who's anointed and you get to carry that. That's awesome. We don't see that model in Scripture. The thing that we do see is that when somebody tried to pay for a mantle, pay for an anointing, they got rebuked. Right? So we've got to have a pure heart when it comes to this. And every mantle was passed on in the context of a depth of relationship. So this is something else that I think is really important. If we're going to take territory, like I said, you can't do it on your own, but many of us actually need to get close to the people that God has put in your life to mentor you, to disciple you, to help you grow. They have something on their life that you need. And some of you need to start pouring out what you have instead of holding it back for yourself. You need to actually begin to pour it into other people around you and begin to mentor, begin to flow with and let what's in you pour out onto others, right? Listen, this comes out of a place of intimacy with the Lord, because many of us are so lacking confidence that we have anything to give, and the Spirit of the living God is in you, has saved you, has redeemed you, has blessed you, has taught you, has carried you through extreme difficulties, and you've got something to give. Even if you can't see it, you've got something to give. It's important to know that you have something to give. In Joshua chapter 1, I feel like all of this is in the context of Joshua crossing the Jordan. I want to talk about get Elijah, Elisha thing out of the way first, because there is something really powerful that God wants to do in this taking territory, because it's supposed to be two by two, remember? Yeah. See, two by two means that you actually have somebody that you're partnering with for the sake of establishing the kingdom of God in your house. And if it's a spousal partnership, awesome. If you're a single parent, then you and the Lord, maybe you and a BFF, you know, get together and begin to establish the kingdom of heaven, two by two. Okay, two by two. Here's Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends out the 72. And when he sends out the 72 in Luke chapter 10, he says, I want you to go before me. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. But before I go there, I need you to go into every city in which I am going to come into. And I need you to minister. I need you to prepare the way for me to come into that city. And so what did he have the 72 do? He had them cast out demons, heal the sick, fellowship with people. He would go house to house. And when he'd go in the house, he'd say, you know what? Hi, I'm here. I'm from God. Right? I'm from the Messiah. And the first house that I come to, I want to just bless you. And I just speak a blessing. And if they receive the blessing, right, then you're like, can we eat? Right? And part of them receiving the blessing is that culturally, they just invite you in for dinner. Right? Strangers show up and they're like, hi. You're like, hi, I'm from God. Okay, I bless you. Well, why don't you come eat food with us? Right? That's what they did. So they would come and they would eat, and they said, Jesus said, listen, whatever they put in front of you, eat. Right? Eat. And then minister. What are the needs? Find out what the needs are. Right? Then what I want you to do is begin to go throughout the city and heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Crazy. Crazy. Then after all that, then tell them that the kingdom of God has come near them. After all that. So they didn't start with a track. They didn't start with, here's the 4 points of the gospel in Romans, the Romans road to salvation, right? It didn't start with that. It started with ministry on the ground, loving people, serving people, ministering to people, fellowshipping, building relationships. Now, as they go out two by two, they come back and they're like overjoyed, right? Luke 10:17 says that they came back rejoicing, and Jesus is like, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Right? He wasn't channeling a past memory and like suddenly in some ecstatic state. He's saying, when you went out and you did what I asked you to do, the demonic stronghold over that region was broken, and now your name replaces that name in the sky above that city. Because the word wasn't heaven, like third heaven. It wasn't like, it was just like in the sky. It wasn't in old glory by and by. It was in the sky. In the atmosphere above that city, the disciples' names were now over that city instead of the demonic territory. Why? Because they healed, they fellowshipped, they blessed, right? They just went out and did it. So that's the model that we use when we say go two by two. If we're going to have synergy, we have to go two by two. Now, the next level of taking territory is being discipled. being in a discipleship relationship, allowing someone to speak into your life. Some of us think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and we think we're good. But you might not be. Look at the fruit in your life. Is the fruit in your life everywhere that you want it to be? Then you probably need someone to speak into it. Because you can't see what you're not seeing right now. And if you're missing some things, get off your high horse and get discipled. Hey, pastor's on one today. I just think it's really important because, listen, Elisha walked with Elijah for years before he picked up a mantle. Joshua spent hours outside the tent of meeting watching Moses and God have conversations before he was ever given the authority to carry the mantle of leading the nation. Many of us want to go lead the nation now. We want to go cross the Jordan now. We want to actually do it on our own. But God never has it that way. Are you guys okay? All right, good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I'm just going to hit a couple of key points here today. I've pretty much preached my sermon. Somebody say amen. 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 Hallelujah. In order to take territory, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. If you're going to take territory, you have to be prepared. If you go to war and you are unprepared, you're likely going to lose. Yep. Be prepared. How did we see Joshua get prepared? He spent time following Moses, seeing what Moses did, how Moses handled things. He was willing to be corrected by Moses. He was willing to let Moses speak into his life. So one area of preparation is to attach yourself to a leader. Now, don't be clingy. That's weird. Okay? But it is good to let them speak into your life and to ask questions and be like, how would you handle this? What would you do about this? How would that go? I love those questions, by the way. I absolutely love it. Here's the situation I got going on. How do you think I should handle that? Well, let's see what the Holy Spirit's saying. See, I'm not supposed to be the one to give you the answers. I'm going to show you how to find him in the process. You get that? Right? Otherwise, everybody be coming to me. I don't have that much mercy. Yeah, so Joshua became Moses' assistant. Right? And I love that, you know, if you want to find the passage where it says that Joshua stayed outside the tabernacle when Moses met, it's Exodus 33:11 is that passage where it talks about Joshua just so hungry and just constantly trying to be a part of whatever Moses was doing, right? And learning how to serve Moses as an assistant, okay? So, preparation is number one. The second is that when the time comes, preparation is the long. Let me just say, the preparation is the longest season. We wish that it was short. We wish that preparation. Well, I've been through this trial and this trial, and we give our laundry list to the Lord, and I've had all of these experiences. Therefore, I should be ready. And God says, "You're not prepared." Thought I was ready. And then there's other areas where I'm like, God, I'm not ready. And he's like, you're late. Go. And we're like, wait, what? He's the one who does this, right? The Lord is the one who appoints. He's the one who puts people. He's the one who actually, like any mantle that anybody carries, if you get it, it's because the Lord gave it to you. Okay, just to be really clear, right? Nobody gets to be like, I'm going to withhold my mantle from you. You know, whatever. That's weird. I don't even know what that is. Weird. All right. So we have to receive the mantle. So Deuteronomy 34:9, I'll just read this for you because I know you're in Joshua. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua gets hands laid on him, And when he receives that, I'm like, it's running away. He receives what Moses has for him, and the people heeded Joshua, but it says that they heeded Moses, what Moses placed on Joshua. So Joshua doesn't actually come into his own power until after Moses dies and they cross the Jordan. Even after Moses was dead, they still heeded Moses. So when you receive the mantle, let me just tell you, whenever God gives an anointing to you, a mantle to you, and I'm going to talk a little bit more detail because I don't want anybody to be confused. When you get something like that laid on you, it's not about you. Amen. It's not about you. God wants to do some things with you. So, receive the mantle. Joshua had hands laid on him. Of course, we see this similarly play out with Elijah and Elisha, right? And then in every circumstance, both with Elisha and as well as with Joshua, we see that God confirms the anointing and the mantle by his presence. He confirms it with his presence. So here we are in Joshua chapter 1. All right. Starting at 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love that in the process of taking territory, God confirms his plans and he brings his presence. There are so many times in our life where we're unclear about what direction we're to go. Anybody agree with that? Like, I feel like maybe this is where God wants me, but I'm not clear. I'm not sure. And so we can have those questions. Those questions are good. We need to be asking those questions of the Lord, right? I think the first thing you have to do is inquire of the Lord. Before you get 50 people's different opinions, inquire of the Lord, get a sense of what he's saying, and then go to some people, two or three, that are highly trusted people of high character that are invested in your life. You should be able to say, I've got two or three people who are invested in my success. Every one of us needs to have two or three people that are invested in our success. Who are those people for you that are invested in your success? And I will say it is no one else's fault. Quit pointing the finger. Nobody's willing to invest in me. No, you need to go find people, build relationship, submit to a leader. Yeah, I said the bad word, S word, submit. But go find somebody that you can come alongside with, that you can say, can I run with you? Can I run with you? Well, I figure out what I'm doing. And God's going to use that relationship to begin to birth something amazing in you. He's going to begin to partner with you. And do you know what? Every man and woman of God that is dedicated to seeing other people achieve success and thrive are more than happy to invest in you. They're more than happy to. Especially if somebody is willing to actually run with. Now, I've been doing this a long time here. One of the most common and I would say frustrating things for me is when people want to be really close to me because of what they think my anointing will do for them. And how I know that if you're close to me and I'm investing in you and you're investing in me, it's going to be good. God's favor is going to be on it. You're going to be blessed. But can you just serve because you're called instead of what's in it for you? Right? We have to have a heart check in those things. Right? This is why I believe the North American church is going to fall on its... Some aspects of the North American church are going to fall on its face in the next 2 years. Because we're pursuing platform and not a person. We're pursuing our ministry and our calling and not being fully submitted to the King. Because he's the one who platforms. He's the one who calls. He's the one who empowers. Amen? Amen. It's him. It's him. So if you're not pursuing him and you're pursuing a calling, you're all backwards. Okay. And to be clear, there's people who are going to be watching this on the video who've never heard that on the replay. And they're going to have an aha moment. So I'm realizing, like, I'm not necessarily speaking to all the seats here today. Okay, you guys know that we've got a broader influence than just in this house, in this moment. Okay. One of the things that God does when he confirms his plans and he confirms it with his presence is that he confirms the territory. He will confirm where it is that you're supposed to be going. Remember, you get in a relationship with somebody and you let them speak into your life. And listen, every relationship should be a free flow and an exchange. Right? Let me just say, as a leader, I expect the people I'm leading to speak into my life. I expect that. I want that. I don't mind being corrected. It's hard. I don't like it, but I embrace it. Right? One of the realities is that we're afraid of getting in relationship with people to lead us because we are afraid that they're going to control us. It's demonic. God is preventing you from going with the people whom God has called you to run with. The devil is keeping you from going with the ones whom God has called you to run with because you are now being animated by fear. See, if God has asked you to do it, you should run that direction. Okay. Woohoo. So, he'll confirm the territory. So he tells Joshua, here's all the territory I gave Moses. I'm going to give all of that to you, right? So what's the territory that we're talking about here at Harvest Valley, right? We're talking about synergy and taking territory. How many of you know what is the territory that Harvest Valley is supposed to be taking? Okay, the region. Come on, popcorn, just yell it out. North Idaho, what else? The Panhandle. City of Sandpoint, Bonner County, the Pacific Northwest. Bam! So we know that where we live, just as he says to Joshua, everywhere that your feet tread, I am giving to you. So where is your feet treading? Where are you going consistently? Do you shop at Yokes? Might be your territory, right? You often get stuck in the aisle talking at Sandpoint Social Club? I mean, Walmart? Right? You get stuck in there, you know, talking to someone. That might be your territory. You go in the doctor's office, that might be your territory. You're sitting down for a cup of coffee, that might be your territory. Everywhere that your feet tread is where God wants you to take territory. How do you do that? I am with you. I will go with you. We see here that in order for Joshua and the people of Israel to cross over into the promised land, they have to cross the Jordan, the same river that he hit the cloak on and spread, the same river. You got to cross the Jordan. The territory requires that his presence go first, that his presence go with you. See, Joshua knew that in order to go across, God gave him very clear instructions, and we see this just a little bit later in Joshua 1. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The priests are going to put their feet in the water, and when they put their feet in the water, 17 miles up the river, the water's going to stop. And now you're just going to have to wait for that to flow. You're going to have to wait a minute, but I'm going to put your feet in the water. And the banks were overflowing in this season at the Jordan. So they put their feet in the water. They step out. They put their feet in the water. And in order for them to step in, they had to wait. But his presence was doing a work that they couldn't see in the moment. So when you step in to yokes, sometimes slow down. Wait, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? See, when you cross into the territory that God has given you, when you go from where you are at today to where God is taking you, he wants you to take people with you. It was a nation that crossed over. And maybe while you're waiting, as you're waiting for God to move something, maybe you're listening. I'm just trying to make it as practical as possible. Maybe you're listening. Okay, God, what are you saying? Can't count how many times I gotta interrupt somebody, ask them a question. Tell them what I think God's saying to them. And watch God move. If it's territory that you're meant to be in, if it's where your feet are, his presence is there to make a way for people to enter the promised land. I want us to make sure that we understand that you are a mobile Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God rests on you. You're the temple. You are the temple. So everywhere you go, God goes with you. Now, what's really cool is if you get two arcs, able to encourage each other and walk with each other and be able to like spot something you didn't see, even in ministry, even when you're going out, right? Like we're going to hit an evangelism, I hate using the word evangelism explosion because it was a you know, big thing in the 90s. But there's this reality that God wants people to encounter his love and goodness because of the presence of God that is in you being released so they can enter into the promised land. Are you with me? Okay. All right. So God confirms your territory. He will define your victory, right? You're going to take the territory. You guys are going to see people saved. You're going to see you operate in a higher level of your own gifting. You're going to see some amazing things happen. And then he's going to give you everything that you need for the battle. He's going to give you your full supply, right? Because he says, I'm going with you and I'm all you need, right? So every time we're worried, I don't think I've got enough, let him just show up and he's more than enough. Amen? And which we heard in the verse on the giving verse today out of the Passion. I want to just close this out in talking about a couple of questions, and then just to explain a little bit more about anointing. David was anointed by Samuel to be king. Elisha carried a mantle that signified that he was a prophet, and that mantle was something that carried its own authority. The anointing of God carried its own authority. We see the staff carried authority. These different things, they carried authority. And in order for someone to, they have to live in it, they've got to breathe it, they've got to live it out at a high level of character. God has to confirm it. There has to be a lot of things going on for someone to actually operate under an anointing. It's not willy-nilly. God's the one who gives it. And yet, I have seen over and over and over that God graciously gives out anointing, and he graciously places mantles when I don't feel like I deserve it, when I don't feel like I'm worth it, when I don't understand it, and I don't believe that it's really for me. I think I've told you guys, I walked on the property the first time, fairly new believer, and God said, "You're going to be a pastor here," and I rebuked the devil. I was like, I am not that guy, but he made me that guy. So will you stand? I want us to pray. I'm going to do a general impartation for you if you're willing to receive it. I've given this mantle away a few times because I believe it's the best one that you could ever have. So the Lord... In 2014, and we had some speakers here, good friends of ours, Tracy and Natalie Armstrong were here from Citadel Church in Seattle, Washington. Tracy and Natalie, powerful people, lead an amazing movement there in the Seattle area. And, Tracy became a really good mentor of mine. And I've learned so much from Pastor Tracy. How many of you know who Oral Roberts is? So Oral Roberts, there's actually a university named Oral Roberts, O-R-U, because they started a school that ended up turning into a giant university. Oral Roberts was one of the greatest faith healing ministers in the 50s and 60s. One of the greatest of all time. I mean, just epic. Like, he'd show up into places and, you'd see the stage piled up with crutches and wheelchairs and people running and walking out completely healed. So many different types of healing under his ministry. And he just carried this anointing, right? He carried an anointing. In 2014, he felt really sick. He was very old at that point. I don't know exactly. He was in his late 80s, I believe, or early 90s. And he ended up falling into a coma and then passing away over the course of a couple of weeks. Pastor Tracy flew to Texas to see Oral Roberts. He had known Oral Roberts and had met him several times, and flew down there to be with him because they had heard the bad report. And Oral Roberts had asked for a handful of people to come see him. And so Tracy comes and lays down, kind of gets down by him on the bed, where he is, and they're talking. And Tracy says, he's like, "I was so excited because he's gonna lay his hands on me. And he's going to impart his anointing to heal." Right? Like, oh, how cool would that be? And then he left a little disappointed because he was like, "Wait, what? What just happened?" Because Oral Roberts looks at him and puts his hands on him and says, "I want to impart to you the ability to believe God, to just believe him, to believe his word." So he laid his hands on him, imparted the ability to believe God. Meek and I, on our knees, right here. We receive that from Tracy and Natalie both. The few moments in life that change a worldview, but that was one. Our faith isn't perfect, but man, we can believe God. We choose to believe him in spite of circumstances. We have to train our heart. No matter what is going on around us, we are going to believe God. We are going to believe him. He is not the author of evil. He's the author of good. So, we need to begin to take territory from the enemy, and it's going to require you getting in partnership with somebody in your life. Somebody that you believe is maybe at a higher level in their faith than you are today. Can I just say, is that okay to say that? You need to find somebody that you believe is operating at perhaps a higher level of faith and ability to believe God than you have in your life right now. And if you've got people like that in your life, awesome, praise the Lord. Then don't go anywhere, just lean into the people that you have, okay? But I feel like many of us need to find somebody that we can lean into, and then I want you to really ask them the question, how can I serve you? How can I partner with you with what God is doing in your life? Because listen, coming along people who carry something that you're like, man, I feel like they've got something that I need, that is okay, just as long as you come to serve instead of to get. God's going to show you those people, and you're going to be like, this is kind of awkward, but I feel like I should be serving you. I've had all of our leadership has come to me and said that. They've all said, Chris, I know God told me that I need to serve you. I need to come alongside you. And I said, praise the Lord, let's do that together. And then I want to empower them as much as I can for them to do what God has called them to do, because it ain't about me. So first thing, look for somebody and ask yourself the question, who is it, Lord? He might be highlighting somebody who you were like, oh yeah, that's probably somebody I should be investing my time and energy in. But you've dismissed it so many times in the past that it's like, that again? How about you listen to that thing? Okay, listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you now. Who should you be investing your life in serving? And now consider, who should I pour into? Who's one person that I need to be sowing my life into? And I need to serve them to help them with their faith, help them in their walk, help them grow and become the person that God's called them to be. The next thing that you're going to need is what I want to impart right now. Maybe you've received it before. I'm feeling very charismatic today. I'd love it if you join me up here if you want to have hands laid on you for the ability to believe God at a greater level. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Yeah, come on, let's just raise our hands to the Lord to receive, because this ultimately comes from him. This ultimately comes from the Lord. So God, we ask that you would come in your power and your fullness, and you begin to impart faith. Impart faith, impart faith, impart faith. Where there's been areas of our life where we have been lacking the ability to believe, we call forth your authority and your power to believe you in greater measure. We just say, believe the Lord, believe the Lord, believe the Lord, believe God. We just impart to you the ability to believe God, believe God, believe God. We impart to you the ability to believe the Lord. We impart to you, we place a mantle of faith on you, believe God, believe God. Yeah. We impart to you the ability to believe God. By faith, to believe God. A greater measure to believe the Lord. We say, believe God in greater measure. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit in greater measure to believe you, God. We ask, God, that you pour out faith to believe you, God, where we have questioned you, where we have doubted you. We say, pour out faith, God. We put the mantle on them to believe God. To believe God in greater measure. We say, pour out faith. Pour out faith, God, to believe you in greater measure. We pour out faith, God, to believe in greater measure. We pour out, God. Believe God. I say, believe God in a greater measure. We say, believe God in a greater measure. We say, believe God. Believe God in a greater measure. I impart to you the ability to believe God. I impart to you the ability to believe God. Believe God. I command every doubt to sit down. Believe God. We impart the ability to believe God right now in Jesus' name. The fullness of the Holy Spirit making you alive inside, that you would believe God in greater measure. Believe God in greater measure. And Father, I thank you. I thank you that it is simple acts of faith, like coming forward, that we can enter in to the promises that you have for us. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Believe God in greater measure. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.